Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, as I grew up around the head family dinner table, debating and argumentation were very much the order of the day, and my dad actually made us think about everything that we said. We couldn't just come out with a comment without substantiating evidence and showing that we had actually thought about what we said. In an atmosphere like that, it's not very surprising that the quick comeback, the perfect comeback, which could shut up your opponent in an argument and make them go, was very much prized in our family. Now, on first glance, our gospel reading tonight from Matthew 22 looks very simply like a tricky question and the perfect comeback. But Jesus being who he is, there's of course a lot more to it than that. And in fact, through both his words and actions here, Jesus is dealing with three very important, very fundamental aspects of human life. First of all, Jesus deals with the issue of truthfulness. Jesus also brings in the foundational issue of idolatry. And then finally, Jesus reveals something about true worship and about God's plan for us as his people. Let's just have a bit of a look at the text now from Matthew 22. It's on page 699 of the Pew Bible if you want to look along. So Jesus has just finished telling the parable of the wedding banquet. It's an inflammatory parable. It's pointed directly at the religious people of Jesus' day, at the Pharisees. And what Jesus is saying to them is, you think you've been invited to God's banquet, and indeed you have, but because you have said no to the son of the king, you're not going to get in. Well, that's a really good way to get yourself in trouble. And that's exactly what happens. Then the Pharisees went out and laid plans to trap him in his words. Things are hotting up at the end of Jesus' life, very close to the end, within a week of his death. So the Pharisees sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians. Now this is really intriguing because the Pharisees were the pious, good, honest, religious people of their day. The Herodians, on the other hand, were the ones who supported Herod, a puppet king who really ruled in the place of the tyrannical Roman Empire. And so Pharisees and Herodians were not a natural mix. And yet here they are, banding together to see if they can trap Jesus. And they come along and they do some buttering up, some flattery, some preparing the ground so that Jesus will answer the way that they want, so that they can ask him the tricky question, the unanswerable question. Teacher, they said, we know you are a man of integrity and that you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. You aren't swayed by people because you pay no attention to who they are. Tell us then, what is your opinion? Is it right to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Well, here it is, the tricky question, the one which any answer gets you in trouble. Now, I know not many of you are married here, but as a husband, I know this question in the form from my wife that goes something like this. Does this dress make me look fat? Well, if you say yes, you're in deep trouble. If you say no, your wife says, oh, you really do think that, don't you? You're just trying to be nice to me, aren't you? So there's really nothing that you can say that will answer that question in a way that is good for you. It's exactly the same here with Jesus, except much more so. If Jesus says, no, it's not right to pay taxes to Caesar, then the Herodians can report him to the Roman authorities for sedition and treason against Rome, and he's liable to trial and execution. If he says, yes, you should pay taxes to Caesar, then the Pharisees and the pious Jews will say, well, you're actually a traitor towards your own country, and you are supporting the very people who are grinding us down under their heel. But the way that Jesus responds says something very deep about truthfulness. In fact, Jesus knows that their intent is evil. Jesus knows that the Pharisees have already taken themselves outside the realm of truth. Because truth is not just about adherence to the facts. Truth in the Bible is relational. Truthfulness is what helps and builds up and encourages and edifies the relationship between people. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German pastor who was martyred at the end of World War II for his part in the plot against Hitler, had something very interesting to say about truthfulness, and Jesus touches on this here. Bonhoeffer said that, in many ways, the actions of the Nazis had already taken them out of the realm of truthfulness. And so that if the Nazis came to your house and asked you, are you hiding Jews? There was no way to answer them truthfully. And in fact, that lying and concealing the facts might actually be a more truthful response than serving their evil purposes. So Jesus doesn't reply directly. He asks another question. You hypocrites, why are you trying to trap me? Now, how's that for a tricky question? How do you answer that one? No, we're not. Tell a lie. Or, yes, we are. Reveal your true intent. A Jewish rabbi was once approached by a learner, and the learner said, Rabbi, I've noticed something. Why, when Jewish rabbis are asked a question, do they always answer with a question? The rabbi thought briefly, and then he said, why shouldn't a Jewish rabbi answer a question with a question? Which is exactly what Jesus does here. He will not get caught up in their games of untruthfulness. He won't simply adhere to the facts. He will take them deeper than that. And this is very similar to what Martin Luther says in his explanation to the Eighth Commandment. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Luther says we are to fear and love God so that we do not betray, slander, or lie about our neighbor, but defend them, speak well of them, and explain their actions in the kindest way. As the Pharisees go on, as Jesus goes on in his conversation with them, he says, show me the coin used for paying the tax. So they bring him a denarius, a Roman coin, which was the coin in which you had to pay your annual tax to the Roman governor. Now, we here in Australia are so used to having a picture of a human face on our coins that we don't even think about it anymore. But as Jesus looks at this coin, he says to the Pharisees and the Herodians, whose image is this? The NIV translates that word as portrait, but really it's the word image. Whose image is this? And whose inscription? And in doing so, Jesus is revealing something very deep about idolatry. You see, a Jewish coin, all of the coins that were issued by Jewish authorities in Jesus' day, would never, ever have a human being's image on it. There was such a prohibition from the Old Testament against making any kind of image that you might be tempted to worship and that you might be tempted to fall into idolatry. But the Roman coin has the picture of Caesar on it. So by asking this question, whose image is this and whose inscription, Jesus is turning the question back on his accusers. He is saying, the question is not, is it lawful for me to pay the tax, but is it lawful for you to even accumulate this coinage, which has the idolatrous image of Caesar on it? And in doing so, Jesus is forcing the Pharisees to look deeper into their own hearts and encouraging us to do so too. Everything God has given us is good, but sometimes our accumulation of what God gives is a very subtle idolatry. And so Jesus is encouraging and revealing to us that we need to examine very carefully the things that we accumulate and see whose image we are putting our trust in. Are we engaged in subtle idolatry because of our accumulation of things? By the way, just on that, imagine if the Queen comes to Australia, Queen Elizabeth II, and goes out to a nightclub and they ask her for ID. Do you think she pulls out a 50-cent piece? No. Ben's shaking his head. That's terrible. It's her image. It's her inscription. It belongs to her. And so Jesus says, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar's. But in his reply, Jesus also brings out something about true worship. Give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar's, and to God what belongs to God. The Pharisees knew their Old Testament as well as Jesus did. Well, maybe not so well, actually. But both of them knew what is the answer to the question, what bears the image of God? This coin bears the image of Caesar, but what is it that bears the image of God? It is the human being. God in creation created humans in his own image. And so when Jesus says, give to God what belongs to God's, in connection with this word image, he is saying true worship consists in giving back to God what is really belonging to God in the first place. You are created in the image of God. That means that God has put his stamp and his imprint on you, and you are worth far more than any stuff that could be accumulated. But that image has been tarnished or lost or damaged or broken by sin. And here Jesus is also pointing to his ultimate purpose. You see, Jesus says, give to God what belongs to God, but Jesus has come to us in order to give us what belongs to God. The life of his only Son. Forgiveness, reconciliation, peace with God, the restoration of God's image, all of that delivered and wrapped up in the death and resurrection of Jesus. So true worship consists in giving to God what truly belongs to him, not only through creation, but also through redemption. And that's why later, when St. Paul is writing his letters to the churches, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he can write this. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Give to God what belongs to God. Your self, your body, your mind, your will, your purpose, All of these things belong to God twice over. That's how valuable you are to God. And true worship consists simply in giving back to God what truly belongs to him. There's great satisfaction in a good, quick comeback that shuts up your opponents and leaves them gobsmacked. But there's a whole lot more here in this passage than a simple, tricky question and good answer, or even notes from Jesus about civil government. Jesus here is speaking about truthfulness and idolatry and true worship. And you, being created and redeemed in God's image, give to God what belongs to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.